We're in Psalms 21 this morning. Psalms 21. Psalms 21. David here, referring to himself, of course. Notice verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Talked about this morning in Sunday school. Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee, they imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so shall we sing and praise thy power. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, come to you this morning in reading from this psalm. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that no matter how troubled our situations become, that our God is still on the throne and still great. And Lord, you let us go through some things. I pray this morning you might bring our attention to something that's really, I guess, really struck me this week as being extraordinarily important. Pray you'd help us to treat this right. Don't let me mess this up, Father, and I want to present you as you ought to be presented. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in today's world, today's Christianity even, what Scripture says is very much undermined. In the average congregation, even of this size, and even when you get larger, there's more probably. But now, not here for us because of just what we are, but there are usually six or eight different renditions of any single thing that the Bible says that the guy gets up and reads. There's usually six or seven different versions out there of the very same things that he's reading, right? And the scholars and the preachers constantly reword and alter what the Bible says. So therefore, the authority, the impact, the force of a Bible statement is eroded. It's, you know, it's undermined. And so, you know, I'm looking at this week, and by the way, Christians get dismissive too of it because they've heard it so much. But you'll take note down in verse 6, something that really got a hold of me this week. You'll notice there David says an interesting thing, for thou hast made him. Now God has made, and the king's referring to himself, David, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. All right, well, most blessed. That ought to give a Bible believer a slight pause. I mean, you believe that the words that God put in the book are the words that belong there, and you believe them as they're written, right? And so a Bible believer ought to think, most blessed. Now, I looked it up, and that's the only time in the Bible it says that anything or anybody is most blessed. And so a few thoughts come to mind with that when I'm thinking about them. The first thought is, wow, right? David says, I am most blessed. And David's life was not without crisis. David's life was not without trouble. David's life was not without iniquity, transgression, sin, and judgment for that matter. And yet, and I don't know exactly at what juncture in David's life the Psalm 21 was written. It may have been early, it may have been late, I don't know. We're not given that, but he still said and that the king, you've made him most blessed forever. It's quite a statement. And the second thing that kind of came to mind with that is, okay, well, does that mean he's more blessed than Abraham? Does that mean he's more blessed than Moses, than Job? Does that mean he's more blessed than Jesus? And I don't know if the Lord has, you know, down here we have the Guinness Book of World Records and Ripley's, believe it or not, for who ate the most hot dogs at one time ever and who has the biggest bicep ever and what lady has the smallest waist ever and all that. I don't know if the Lord has a book in heaven about, you know, who is the most ever. But David said, he said, I'm most blessed forever. That's worth a little bit of a pause, I really think. And because what you ought to think about is, all right, if David is most blessed forever, I have no reason to argue with that. I'm not going to argue with that today. But where do I fit in there? Really, I mean, when's the last time you thought about exactly how blessed you are? Let me preach on most blessed for a little while. I'm going to need to take us elsewhere for a bit and then work our way back here, but just how blessed am I? I thought about that this week, and you know, just how blessed are you? Like I said, our prayer lists right now are reading like some sort of a war-wounded triage unit, and there's all kinds of things going on. Ian and Rachel are under fire, and you know, all this stuff going on. There's a ton of stuff going on right here. People are troubled, been troubled for months about things, and things just keep happening. So in that light, and that's not unlike David's life. I mean, David's running from Saul at one point. I don't know if he wrote it then. David sinned with Bathsheba, conspired to commit murder against her husband. Now he's going to, you know, the baby's dead. Now he's got to face four sons that are going to die. And he's the one that pronounced it. I don't know at what point he wrote this, but he said, I am most blessed. So we got to investigate this, right? Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 7 for a second. We'll work our way back to Psalm 21, but Deuteronomy chapter 7. And most blessed is, that is the singular time that it occurs in the Word of God. There's something kind of like it that I thought that I would build this around. In Deuteronomy 7, children of Israel have come out of Egypt, as you know, and the Lord is going through some highlights of how he's going to treat them, what he thinks of them. Notice verse 2, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them from before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. This is the people's roundabout. Verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Talks about some other things. Verse 5, but thus shall ye deal with them, and ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people, holy, special, unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. And he says they're above all people. And if you'll skip down then to verse 14, you read there that thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Now, David says, I'm most blessed. Well, the Lord, you take it back to Deuteronomy, and this is only one or two places, and he says, I will make you to be, as a people, I will make you to be blessed above all people. Okay, so from that passage, here you have a people blessed above all people. The people referred to are Israel, and only Israel. Just to be clear, I'm not going to be disputing what he says here. I want you to consider something later, but blessed above all people. So that's above the Pakistanis and the Uzbekistanis. and the Azerbaijanis, and the Persians, and the Iranians, and the Australians, and the South Americans, and the Minnesotans. He's blessed. They're blessed above all people. That's Israel, and Israel only. And further, I can find a place that says, "And if you bless them, I'll bless you, and if you curse them, I'll curse you." And that's still in effect. They ought to keep that in mind in this war. I'm not of Israel. I've never been of Israel. I'll never be of Israel. There's not a Jewish drop of blood in my body, as far as I know. If it is in there, it got snuck in somehow. I don't know. But the Bible says that Israel is blessed in verse 14 above all people. In that respect, in verse 6, they are holy. They are special. Again, blessed of all, above all people. Chosen, verse 6, you find that. And that God, in verse 7, He did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. And that's what Israel falls back on. Ultimately, God didn't love them for their own sake. God loved them for Abraham's sake and Isaac's sake and Jacob's sake and David's sake, the fathers. And so, you know, Israel is still blessed above all people. But, again, in Deuteronomy 7, all of God's plan has not been exposed or revealed yet, right? I mean, it's still relatively, or still in the law, relatively early in the Bible. And I'm not arguing with the fact that they are blessed above all people. Israel certainly still is. And I'm happy for that. So the question that I have with that respect, I mean, in history, they're blessed above all people, but they sure messed up. I mean, they got in the land, and right away, God started having to recover them from their mistakes, their sins, and transgressions. He rose up early, sent prophets, and said, if you guys don't turn, I'm going to take you off to Babylon. I'm going to carry you off into captivity. He judged them many times over and over again. Finally did lead them to captivity. For 70 years, they came back, rebuilt the temple, and then where they were under the Roman Empire for all those scores and scores of years. And ultimately, they never really escaped that. They came that their Messiah came, and instead of receiving their Messiah to be their king, they refused him and had the Roman Empire torture him to death. After he rose from the dead, they rejected him. After he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, they still rejected him. And so the diaspora came upon them. The Romans came and destroyed their city. They have been dispersed ever since. They're just now really getting back to the ultimate regathering of Israel. Right? That's a fair history. Correct? Okay? But in Deuteronomy 7, they are blessed above all people. That's the wording. And yet in Deuteronomy 7, there was something the Lord hadn't shown anybody yet. It was not revealed to Paul. And the Lord did something unforeseen. Those things are all written, by the way, for our learning and for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth have come, ends of the world have come, okay? Because the fact is, I'm not arguing with this statement. The fact is, the Lord brought forth another people that He had not yet revealed. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 2. You won't have to turn an awful lot this morning, but 1 Peter chapter 2. He brought forth another people. First Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 5. Ye also, talking about us, as lively stones are built up and spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, me and you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, disallowed rather, the same has become the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. In Deuteronomy 7, the Lord hadn't revealed that there would be another people like us. I've been made a part of that people. Let me just take you one more time backwards. Look to Romans chapter 9 real fast, and then you won't have to turn much more. Romans 9. He prophesied this, and nobody, I guess, was real sure what he meant, but then he tells you what he meant there in 1 Peter chapter 2. But Romans chapter 9, look down in verse 24. Even us? No, I need to start earlier than that. Verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Then notice what he says. He's quoting Hosea 2 here. As he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. You weren't always his people, and you were not beloved. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it shall be, it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, all I'm saying here is that, okay, Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, I've made you above all people. But he hadn't revealed yet there would yet be another people. So I can't help but compare. I'm not trying to overthrow what he said. I'm not saying I'm Israel. I'm not saying I'm better than Israel. But it's worthwhile to just look and see, since they are blessed above all people, just how blessed are you? Just think about it. Just how blessed are you? I'm now a part of a people. Not by race, not by ethnicity, not by law, not by circumcision, not by baptism, not by tribe, not by birth, but by faith. I got in on this because he offered me the gospel and said I could be a child of God. I could be a people, part of a people, if I would receive him as my Savior. And having gotten that, you can go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 if you want, but you just read it. I've made you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I've got a tickle in my throat. But you're peculiar. You're a loved people, though. You're royal. You're a priesthood of believers. You're called to the light. If you're a part of God's people, I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about the body of Christ. If you're a part of this new people, you're a new creature in Christ, you have eternal security. Individually, you have eternal security. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. You are adopted children of God. You are heirs with Christ, newly born, by the way, complete in him, baptized by one Spirit into one body, seated with him in heavenly places. And by the way, you are one with him, and he's one with you. Amen. Israel is blessed above all people. I do not dispute that. But I've carefully studied the Bible, and when it's all said and done, I would rather be a part of the people than I'm a part of than if he gave me a choice to become one in Israel. Now, that's how blessed I am. As being made part of the people that I've been made a part of, as far as I can find, as far as I can read it, my lot is preferable to me than if I were able to be made part of them. I can never be part of them, right? But he said that people is blessed above all people. Well, I'm pretty blessed because I would choose my blessings rather than opt for theirs. I'm not going to argue with what the Bible says, but I would choose my blessings rather than opting for theirs if it were offered. I think that's cool. Because I'm pretty blessed, like really blessed, when you stop and think about it along these lines, right? Now, let me take you to another place that's interesting. Look in Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5 may seem a strange place. But in Judges 5, I'll give you the backdrop of the story. Israel's at war. They went to war with Jabin, the king of Canaan. Jabin's captain of his host was Sisera. And at war with Israel, Deborah and Barak, I'm not sure how Deborah got in there, but she did, are part of the leadership in Israel. And Barak wouldn't go to war without her, so she had to go with him. I think they held hands all the way. I'm not sure. But Israel, by the grace of God, defeated Jabin, the Canaanite's forces in battle. And so Sisera was among the ones that got away and fled. And he fled, as it turns out, to a woman named Jael's tent. And Jael was the wife of Heber the Kenite, who was kin to Moses' wife. But Jael invites him in to rest and take some nourishment and stuff. And he lays down, tired, takes a nap. And buddy, she nails him to the floor. She sends a nail straight through his temple, nailed him to the floor, and cut his head off. And because of that action, the Bible says this in verse 24 of Judges chapter 5. Now David said, "I am most blessed forever. Of Israel, the Lord said, I have blessed her above all people." And yet here in this passage, he says, "Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent." So here's a woman that's blessed above all women. Now, just for reference sake, look in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is just kind of an important byline, I suppose you might call it. Because here is Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is much exalted. She's the queen of heaven to the Catholic Church. And there's only one problem. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." There's another woman more blessed than her. Jael was blessed above women. Now, in fact, this is repeated twice. Verse 42. She spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women." Just among women. Not above women. Now, that was just a little side note. It's not super important to this sermon. But here is Jael. She is the bride of Heber the Kenite. And she nails Sisera to the floor and cuts his head off. And he says, "Thou art blessed above women." She's a bride. Well, I just want to say, I'm a bride too. Now don't worry, I don't have a problem with identity, okay? So, just to be clear, I'm not transitioning. But I am part of Christ's bride. And I don't think that you'll have a problem with me taking you and reading this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You don't have to get there. I'm already there. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous, Paul's jealous over you, that is me, us, with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Bible says that, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's what a wife is to her husband. Well, Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, is blessed above women. And I don't, I'm not going to dispute what the Bible says, but I have a complete standing in Jesus Christ. And I just don't know how I could choose another lot and be more blessed than that. So given a choice of being made a part of Israel, given a choice of being identified with Jael, I'm sticking with what I got. Because I'm part of a people. I mean, I'm part of a bride. I'll embrace, I'll cherish my blessedness. Now, Psalms 21, back to David for just a second. Back to David, Psalms 21. Now look at that statement one more time in verse 6. David speaking of himself, "For thou, God, hath made him the king, most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." He's made most blessed forever. The most blessedness of David. Okay? I'm not here, this is not one upsmanship here. I'm not going to compare myself with David, really. I'm not trying to, he said, "I'm the most blessed forever," and I'm not going to argue with him. That's his blessing, that's his lot, it's all his, and I'm not going to interfere, right? So this is not one-upsmanship. I'm told this, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So I'm not going to try to unseat David and say, "No, I'm more blessed than you." I'm not doing that. This is not one-upsmanship. I'm not going to go down that route. But that's quite a statement. He said, "I am most blessed forever." He considered himself most blessed. He says it about himself. He says it against the backdrop of all of Psalms and all of 1 and 2 Samuel. David is on the run from Saul, it seems like forever. David commits horrific sins and winds up facing judgment until the day he died over those things. He's still in the midst of losing those four sons in judgment till the day he died. And yet he says, "I'm most blessed forever." David's responsible for 70,000 people dying when he numbered Israel. And yet he says, and I'm not sure nobody knows exactly where this falls and what point in his life it fell. Did it fall because one morning David woke up somewhere in his mid-30s or mid-40s and it was just one of those mornings and the birds were tweeting and the bacon was frying? Probably not. And, all of his problems, there were no problems, there were no storms on the horizon at all that day. I mean, he just gets up and he feels good. And so he prays, "Oh God," writes a song, "Oh God, I am most blessed forever." Now maybe it happened like that. Or maybe the psalm is also the outpouring of David's heart with a view of all the troubles that he suffered. Maybe he was not just being some naive, green-behind-the-ears dude who, because he felt good today, his back wasn't hurting, the birds were tweeting, and the bacon was frying, that, "Boy, this is a good day." I'm most blessed forever. Maybe it was a more solemn, you know, outpouring where even though I've been running from Saul, even though I've been reaping for Bathsheba, and even though I've been reaping for that murder, and even though, you know, I'm suffering some of the pangs, the Bible says the sorrows of hell at times for him. Going through some of those things in Psalms, he says, because of your throne, because of my position, I consider myself most blessed forever. Now, you can't prove either way. Just a really good morning? Or whether on sober reflection, he realizes deeply just how blessed he is. Now, I bring all this up because what am I supposed to do with this verse? The Bible teaches me that, you know, I'm supposed to apply these verses to myself. I know doctrinally, prophetically, I know who this is. Historically, it's David. I know that prophetically, there's another application probably. But shouldn't I be able to carry away from this something regarding David saying, thou hast made him, David, most blessed forever? David, first of all, could not have grasped the full estate of a church-age Christian. He wouldn't have been privy to what the Lord showed Paul. He's writing this in Psalms 21. Paul is is way forward in time. And so David could not have known what we would one day enjoy as the body of Christ. It's not possible. And he says, you've made me most blessed forever. And so I'm not trying to overthrow. I'm not trying to one-up David. I'm not trying to unseat him. He said, I'm most blessed forever. I'm not going to argue. Help yourself, right? But I would just point out some stuff. Because part of this is about how blessed are you really? I know there's stuff going on. In fact, quite a lot of stuff going on. In fact, life-changing stuff going on. I totally get it. I'm not being dismissive of it. Got my own problems, right? And they're not very big. But other people here have bigger problems than me, and other people elsewhere that we're praying for have much bigger problems than us. But if David, on one morning, wakes up and one time says, I am most blessed forever. It's the only time in the Bible anybody says, I'm most blessed. So it seems like I should be able to look at something here and kind of be able to appreciate my blessedness. I appreciate the fact that I've been made a people. And I wouldn't change places with Israel. I appreciate the fact that I'm a bride, just like Jael was a bride. And given a choice, I wouldn't change with her. Right? All right. In Psalms 21, he says, the king shall joy in thy strength. Okay, king. In Revelation 1, you and I are made kings and priests. He says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Well, one time Jesus spoke and said, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may be full. And further, that my joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you. Scripture with Scripture. The king shall joy in thy strength. It says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Right? O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice? Well, salvation. I know how David got his, but my salvation came by grace through faith, plus nothing. I am the possessor of it. I mean, it's a done deal. I am saved. I am complete in him. And David had some promises, but boy, I mean, there's been some stuff done in me spiritually that can't be reversed by the devil or anybody. In fact, including the Lord. Even he can't reverse it. Okay. Look down in verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. That is, you've heard about the advent. This is the Lord going before you in your day, laying out blessings. So you wake up healthy. You got food in the refrigerator. You got a car to go to work in and work to go to. And a wife that loves you. And the kids get to school okay. I mean, who hasn't here today been prevented? Who here hasn't had the Lord go before you in your life today and clear some obstacles? Maybe he allowed some, too, but cleared some obstacles. In fact, who even knows what the Lord cleared from your path? Who even knows all the ways the Lord prevented you today? It says there, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Okay, I'll grant you, I don't have a crown, but I can get one. In fact, I can get five. There's a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of life, and a crown incorruptible. And then it starts to soak in a little bit that, yeah, I have a standing in Jesus Christ that's guaranteed. But a lot of the rest of this life is about what I make of it. The sky's the limit, really. Who thwarts me in my fellowship with God? Who keeps me from getting a crown of life or a crown of glory or an incorruptible crown? Right? See, David said, I am most blessed forever. And I don't know all that he meant and all that went through his mind in his statement. And I'm not trying to usurp him, and I'm not playing Guinness Book of World Records trying to overthrow his record. But I'm looking at my blessedness. And I don't know if he was more blessed than me. Really, I don't. He said, I'm most blessed forever. Was he really more blessed than you? I'll go further in the passage here, verse 4. He asked life of thee. Well, that's how I got life. Eternal life. Incorruptible life. I mean, abundant life further. I got that. In verse 5, his glory is great in thy salvation. I'd read you that passage, several passages this morning. Therefore I endure, Paul said, all things for the elect's sake, that thou may also obtain a salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, the Lord doesn't just want you saved. He wants you to be saved and be partaker in his eternal glory. Who keeps that from happening? Me. If I don't get it. You'll notice in verse 6, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. David, as far as I know, didn't get a chance to see the actual countenance of God, for no man can see the Lord and live. And I've never seen even Jesus Christ face to face, but I will, and I can see it by faith. You find in verse 7, for the king trusteth in the Lord. Well, that's how I got all that I got. Faith. Trust, right? And verse 8, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Well, all my enemies have been defeated by the Lord. World, the flesh, the devil, in standing, sin, the grave, hell, death. Is David most blessed or are you? I'm not going to argue with the Bible. I'm not going to usurp him. But when I break all this down, I'm talking about Israel, who's blessed above all people, and Jael, who's blessed above all women. And I find David, who's most blessed forever. And I compare our lots. I don't know if David was more blessed than me or not. And you ought to think about that. I know, you know, MS and Parkinson's and broken femurs and, you know, bombings. And I fully get it. Getting older by the day, I fully get it. But are you sure David was more blessed than you? You know, a lot of it is how you respond to something. For instance, I think about, here we have all these trials, sickness, tears, trouble. Well, the Bible says that the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. So is a man to his praise. A fining pot is made to purify silver. A furnace is made to purify gold. A man is made to be a praise cooker. And the Lord lets you go through things so that he'll see what kind of praise cooks off. That's, by the way, Proverbs 27, verse 21. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I keep sitting here thinking, I'm busy thinking. I'm not going to argue with David. I'm not trying to usurp him. It's important that he, and I would rather think of this as, rather than David stupidly waking up one morning and everything was just perfect, I'm the most blessed forever. I'd rather think of him having gone through a bunch of life and a bunch of sorrows and all of the slings that the devil could throw at him and still say, you know, Lord, after thinking about it, I'm still most blessed forever. I would rather think it like that, because that's how you're going to have to think. I read in 2 Corinthians, for instance, that Paul is suffering something, really needs a prayer request answered really bad. It's a health issue. It would make him a better apostle in his view. He could be healthy again, which is always good in his view. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I'm not saying I've aspired that high yet. In reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I read in Romans, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever comes down the pike, the Lord will use it to build your character, to purify your praise, and to, by his grace and strength, show you that he is sufficient to get you through. I read where, you know, I'm to lay up treasures. Because what we need to do, am I more blessed than you? Well, I don't know. You have more money than me. And you drive a better car than me. And you're a lot younger than me and a lot prettier than me. So I don't know. Well, the Bible, though, says, I ought to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. With all that taken into account, I look at the passage and I see that David says, for thou hast made him, David, most blessed forever. And you know, I compare my lot to his, and you say, wouldn't you like to trade places with David? And no, I wouldn't. I'm not going to contradict the Bible and say he wasn't the most blessed forever. But I'll stick with my blessedness. I'll stick with what I got. Because I'm more blessed than I acknowledge most days. Amen? And I bet you are too. Now, if you have never been saved before, you can't touch any of this. The only thing you've been blessed with is mercy. You're fortunate to not be in hell this morning. And Jesus Christ died to save you and died to give you a blessedness just like this. But you can't ever get started in that life until you are born again. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So if you've never been born again, you need to be saved today. Amen? In the end, you know, I'm not asking for trouble. I'm not the gopher sticking my head up above ground level hoping somebody will whack it. So I'm not trying to pray down trouble for myself either from God or from the devil or anything else. But David said, I'm most blessed forever. And I just say, and I don't want to change places with you. Because I'm pretty blessed myself. Let's bow our heads and pray.